in time for the Sikha. So, we started off this Zman with a shir on the Mitzvah of Tshuva, and last week we focused on specifically a Rosh Hashanah topic of Mitzvah Shofar, and as our time pre-Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur runs down, I wanted to now move, as we go through the month, to have a Yom Kippur topic. And the topic that I chose relates to the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. There's actually quite a few minhagim / mitzvahs that are associated with Erev Yom Kippur, but certainly the favorite mitzvah of all of us is the mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. Yes, it's rare that on a non-Yontif day we would have such a mitzvah, but none of us are asking too many questions. Hopefully nothing we do in all of our analysis today won't change the ultimate fact that it is a mitzvah to eat. There are stories about various gedolim. They say that the Brisker Rav, for example, had a candy in his mouth the whole day. Time permitting, the last group of sources that we'll see, actually we'll discuss whether that actually is a kiyum of the mitzvah. Some say you might need to do more. But be that as it may, there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and I would like to discuss with you the nature of that mitzvah. And I hope we'll see there are quite a few different understandings of this mitzvah in the Rishonim. Although I hope to show that even though there's, you could argue, perhaps 6 different approaches in the Rishonim, but fundamentally they really fall into 2 camps. There's a 1A, B, and C, and a 2A, B, and C. And that argument, I hope, will be something that we can appreciate both in terms of the various shitas, but then once we understand the 2 basic schools of thought, hopefully we'll appreciate a number of nafkaminas. So, as I mentioned, there are source sheets coming in, but I don't want to wait any longer, so let's get right into the shir, and hopefully when the sheets come, if we could just pass them out as quietly as possible, so we'll be able to have the shir without interrupting. So the pasuk, Vayikra, as it's discussing the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, mentions, when it talks about the ve'inisem, the idea of afflicting ourselves, which is the fasting we're going to do, and the other things which we won't benefit from on Yom Kippur, but the lashon of the pasuk is ve'inisem, adnashasechem betisha lachodesh. There's a lashon there which describes the fasting, not on the 10th of Tishrei, which of course is the date of Yom Kippur, but specifically mentions the 9th of Yom Kippur. And as a result of this, there's a Gemara. It appears in more than one place in Shas, but if we want to pick the most local place, so we'll quote from Masechet Yoma on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Bet, where the Gemara there darshins, what's going on? Do we fast on the 9th? No, of course we don't fast on the 9th. We fast on the 10th. But if we fast on the 10th, so why does it say the 9th? And the way the Gemara resolves the Lashon, the Gemara says, well, it's coming to teach us that there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. And better than that, kala ochel b'tshi'i, anyone who fulfills that mitzvah and actually eats on the 9th, it's as if he fasted on the 9th and the 10th. It's a tremendous reward. It's not enough there's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th, which is great anyway, but in fact, we get even bonus points. It's kilu that we fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Thank you very much. So, the source teacher will be, I guess, coming along. But that's the basic source of the Gemara. The Gemara, again, the Pasuk in Vayikra, Parachof Gimel, and the Gemara in a number of places, most notably on Yuma. Again, the punchline being, Kol ochel v'shosa b'tshi'i, ma'ala v'kosuv kilu hisna ane b'tshi'i v'asiri. So it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Now, before we get into the lumdus of this question, there's a more basic issue just to mention. I don't want to see it inside. We'll see when we get to number 2, section 2 of the sources, we'll start seeing some of the Lashonos or the Rishonim inside. But just to mention outside, that there seems to be an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah. We may come back to this machlokas, I want to mention. Seems machlokas in the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah about the source of this mitzvah. What do you mean the source? The Gemara just said. It's the pasuk of the question is, as you know, whenever we have a drusha, especially when it's a kind of a funny drusha like this, the question is whether it's a bona fide drusha, which would make this a dinda oraisa, or is it just an asmachta and it's only a dinda rabbanan? It's actually an incredible thing to consider, the fact that there might be a mitzvah da oraisa to eat, right? The only times we have mitzvahs da oraisa to eat, you know, are very special days. It's really an amazing possibility to consider. And yet, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, even though he doesn't agree, but the Rambam seems to almost explicitly say this. The Kesef Mishnah takes that 10% of almost, and since he's so unhappy with it, he pushes his way through the door, and the Kesef Mishnah denies it. But the Keset Mishnah points out, and I think his Hachmin is better than his Maskana, that it seems clear from the first glance, the reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam assumes that it's a D'oraisa. The context of the Rambam is actually a far afield. The Rambam thought about if you take a neder to fast. He said, I'm going to fast on every Monday. And what happens if you didn't check the calendar? And it turns out that Monday is a Rosh Chodesh. Monday is Chanukah. Monday is Erev Yom Kippur. And the Rambam makes, I guess not the Rambam's own shita, but the Rambam quotes a very surprising or a little bit counterintuitive chiluk. The Rambam says, if the day that you're going to, that the fast comes out, is a day in which you have to eat midoraisa, then the neder is chal. But if it was only a derabbanon, like Chanukah or Purim, the Rabbanans need chizuk. The Rabbanans, ironically, are going to be treated a little bit more severely because they're inherently weaker, therefore we need to prop them up. And if it would fall out on a fast day, on a Darabbanan, then that would beat the fast day. What's important for us is that when the Rambam gives examples of, well, if your fast comes out on a day where there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat, the Rambam gives a number of examples, including Erev Yom Kippurim. In other words, it would come out that if you took a fast, you took a neder not to eat on a certain day, and that day was Erev Yom Kippur, comes out according to the Rambam, that in fact your fast, the neder would be chal, and you'd have to fast, you couldn't eat. The Kesef Mishnah just can't believe it. And even though he has to, the Rambam does make that point about fasting on Erev Yom Kippur in such a circumstance, but the implication that the Rambam holds is d'oraisa, the Kesef Mishnah denies. But certainly the simple understanding is it's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah, because the Rambam certainly seems to say that. So that's just a PS kind of put in the back of your mind, which is that the rest of the shir, are we discussing a mitzvah d'rabbanan or d'oraisa, that's actually not 100% clear. Pashup Shad in the Rambam is that he holds the d'oraisa, but the Kesef Mishnah himself clearly and unequivocally denies that, whether he's right about the Rambam or not, is notwithstanding, but he himself certainly is clear that he thinks it's only a din d'rabbanan. But yehei ma sheyehei, whether we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa, the question is, why should there be such a mitzvah? What is the geder adin? What is the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? And therefore, hopefully help explain a number of machloksim that follow. So as I mentioned at the outset, there are a number of shitos in the Rishonim, because it's such an intriguing, surprising, almost kind of mitzvah. So all the Rishonim want to get, you know, weigh in. And I didn't even give you all the Rishonim. For example, we're going to see Rashi in a moment. Some Achronim point out that this Rashi might be Soser, a different Rashi, and I didn't even get into the complicated stuff, just the straightforward stuff. You have about 4 or 5 of positions in Rishonim, and we're even going to share one more recent approach. So basically, I think that all of these 6 shitas fall into 2 categories. And before I even mention them, anyone want to suggest? We have a mitzvah like this, and again, especially when you consider the Lashon of the Gemara. Broadly speaking, how would you understand, and I'll give you a little bit of a clue, I'll help you out halfway, what would be the relationship between eating on the 9th of Tishrei and fasting on the 10th? What do you think? What might be, that's a clue to the question that I'm really asking, which is, what is the purpose of, or what would be the overall purpose of eating on the 9th? Yes?
There's no point, the reason you're eating is for the fast.
Very good. So this is, broadly speaking, one, and I would say it's the most simple pashup shot approach, which is that on some level, eating, again, this would be more surprising if it's d'oraisa, but nevertheless, on some level, the eating is a kind of a hachana, or a preparation to enable us to fast. Very good. Most Rishonim are going to agree with you. Although we'll see that within this category, I hope to show you, 3 different possibilities. But broadly speaking, that's going to be one school of thought. The opposite approach, just very simply, is going to be to say no. Perhaps, despite the fact that it looks like there's this relationship, and obviously it's not a coincidence that there's the mitzvah to eat on the 9th of Tishrei and not on the 9th of Cheshvan, the pasuk makes it clear that there's a relationship, but nevertheless it could be that despite that context, perhaps that the getter of the din of eating on the chi on the 9th is an independent din, and it's not going to be tethered, it's not going to be tied one way or the other to the fact that we have to fast on the 10th. So now that we have the kind of broad categories, let me try to plug in for you different approaches within each category, and then hopefully with time permitting we'll then see some nafkaminas. So the first approach, the one that's the most obvious, the one that you already suspected, which is in a number of Rishonim, I gave you just 2 examples, although there's more than the 2, right here at source number 2, Rashi on the Gemara that we just saw there, Rashi and Yoma, Rashi says, Kolomar, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? Hatkein atzmacha betisha shetucha lis'anos ba'asara. It can't be more direct than that, exactly what you said, that the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is kidei, so that you'll be able to fast on Yom Kippur. The Rosh and his Psakim here on the Gemara as well says the same thing. Hechinu Atzmechem uses the Lashon of a Hachana. It's a preparation. B'tisha L'chodesh L'hischazek Ba'achilu V'shtia K'shetuklu L'hasanos L'machar. What's striking is that there's another approach which, even though it accepts your point that there's a relationship and a preparation, but says the exact opposite of Rashi, the exact opposite of the Rosh. And that is a Deya quoted by the Shiboli Haleket, which is also accepted and amplified by the Aruch HaShulchan. And that is that they say, Ein Echanami, we're eating on the 9th as a preparation for the fast. But not like Rashi implied or the Rosh says explicitly that we want to be able to make ourselves stronger so we can better or more easier take the fast. They say just the opposite. That somehow, and we can talk with the doctors exactly see how this, why this should be the case, that by eating on Erev, if you overeat, so to speak, on the Chi, it'll make that contrast, going from all day eating to all day fasting, that contrast, it'll actually make the fast harder for you. Take a look at the Shiboli Haleket. Ubiyama Kippurim Misane Kashelo Inu Yoser. It'll be harder. The withdrawal, right? You know, if you get used to something, the withdrawal from it can be more difficult. Or take a look, the Aruch HaShulchan tries to say something a little bit similar. He tries to make it a little bit more even sophisticated. He says, on the one hand, Mihu Hakocho Sachazakim Yoter Lisbal Tainis Kishocho Mikodem. On the one hand, you'll have more energy to withstand the rigors of the fast if you eat. And yet, Ella Ditsaro Marubo Mehipuch Hapitomi. A little bit of a modern Hebrew there, we're going on in Navardic. He says the sudden withdrawal, having spent a whole day eating in that last few hours before the fast starts, you know, at the Suda, gouging yourself. So then, that sudden contrast, where all of a sudden now you're in complete withdrawal. You didn't slowly, you know, go from, no, you went from 60 to 0 in 1 second flat. That itself is more difficult. So I just wanted to share that with you because I think it's just a fascinating shot. Now, given my druthers, I would still rather eat all day on the 9th. You know, I'm going to go with the Rashi Rush approach on a personal level. But each man can paskin for himself. If you think it's going to make your fast harder, maybe you want to eat a little bit less. I'll leave that up to you. But what I want to point out to you, and this is important because not only for this sugya, but it's important as you're growing and you're learning to appreciate methodologically that something that looks the opposite, which obviously on some level there's a Metzius argument, or maybe it's more than a Metzius argument, there's an argument going on. But on a deeper level, fundamentally, when we mentioned before the basic two approaches, the basic Hakira, is the purpose of eating on the 9th day is somehow part of the relationship of Hachana for Yom Kippur, or is it an independent mitzvah? On that basic, that's the most deep question we can ask, on that question, the Shmuel Haleket and the Aruch HaShulchan completely agree with Rashi. They agree with the Rosh. Yes, the purpose of eating on the 9th is a hachana for the 10th. It's just that you thought it was going to make it easier for you. We're there to make it worse. We're masochists. We're going to make it worse and harder for you. That's an important detail, but it's a detail. On the broader point, they agree that it's about this relationship, the yachas, the hachana, from the 9th to the 10th. Alum the shavurjan of all this, both of these were very practical, very gastronomical. Right? It's going to be easier, it's going to be harder. It's all about the stomach. So take a brisker to look at a yummy meal and a yummy sugya. It says, it's got nothing to do with really with food. It's a din. What do I mean by that in all seriousness? The Rav of Soloveitchik is quoted in the Masorah Journal. If you take a look at the second to last source on the sheet, the Rav is quoted saying something very fascinating, really, in all seriousness, a very beautiful idea. He says as follows. He says, remember, and this is part of a larger point, which is not our topic, the mitzvah is not on Yom Kippur to not eat. The mitzvah is to have an inui, which is an affliction. Now, he's not focusing on that, although other achronim and the other sugyas that speak about it being as a mitzvah asay. But the way the Rav formulates it in this, the way it's presented here, he says it's not just that we don't eat. It's not like a coincidence we didn't eat. We have to have a shvisa from achila. We actively stop eating. Now, what does that mean to actively stop something? Usually active means you do something. Here we're not eating. So he says, in order to make it clear, that it's just not a coincidence. You know, I ate so much, I was so stuffed. You know, because I ate so much on Erev Yom Kippur, this is the next day, the 10th of, she said, I happen to not eat because I'm so full, I'm still nauseous from all the food I ate yesterday. Even though obviously it's a little bit implausible, especially when you're like dying at like 4 in the afternoon. But the point is, that says the Rav, especially even from the beginning of the day, We want it to be clear that it's not just a coincidence having to be on a diet, and the South Beach diet says that on the 10th of every month you don't eat. It can't be a coincidence. Rather, says the Rav, you need a shvisa hanikeres. It has to be clear that the reason we're not eating today is a halachic not eating, not because I happen to be on a diet anyway. And therefore, he says, just we'll read the one line that I have it underlined here. Im ein ochal Erev Yom Kippur, ein kan shvisa hanikeres. If I wouldn't be eating on Erev Yom Kippur, then I would be it wouldn't be obvious, it wouldn't be demonstrative that my non-eating on Yom Kippur was a halachic one. Rather, v'ha'achila b'Erev Yom Kippur, he may kiyume ha'tainis. V'chelek mi'maisa ha'shvisa me'achila. A very fascinating idea. Fascinating. We didn't have so much other things that are great also I want to share with you. I want to spend more time even digesting. No pun intended. Digesting this point. But he says, therefore, because I need to be eating on Erev Yom Kippur, so that when I stop eating on Yom Kippur, that has a kiyum of being a stopping of eating. If I just happened to not be eating anyway, because, you know, the fast starts around 8, well, you know, usually I may have had a big lunch, so I might not have eaten anything. Maybe I eat a late dinner anyway. You know, my dad doesn't get home from the train until 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, that's why I didn't eat yet. No, there has to be an active and clear, demonstrative, I guess is the best word, shvisa hanikeres. Completely different. New idea than anything we've seen until now. And yet, it's fundamentally an agreement. In the sense, again, I'm not... It's a beautiful independent idea. But on the broader picture, I think it has a certain commonality even with Rashi and Shmuel Leket. Namely, what was the Lashon? It's mikiyume hatainus. It's not an independent mitzvah to eat. It's subservient to. What's the big picture here? The big picture here is only one. It's not two messages. It's not two important days. There's only one. That's Yom Kippur and that's the fasting. It's just that in order to have the fasting, have a fulfill, a kiyum b'shleimusa, it has to be preceded by eating. Not because we want to be stronger, not because we want to be more painful, because halachically, in the halachic universe, that creates an added, heightened kiyum. Everyone with me so far? Trying to keep a little bit of pace, hopefully we can cover more of the source sheet than we did last week. Okay, so fundamentally different approaches, but all basically in agreement on some level at least, that the purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is for, either to help, hinder, or, I don't know, something, for the fast itself. In contrast to everything we've seen until now, are a number of formulations in the Rishonim. Again, it's more of a minority opinion, but I think they are certainly worth highlighting, and they certainly exist. For example, the Shibboleth HaLeket, going back to that source, the Shibboleth HaLeket above, he has two reasons. The first one is the one we saw until now. But if you look at the second reason, says the Shibboleth HaLeket, Lahotzi Milibon Shel Tzidukin, Shemes'anin Gam B'Tshi. We mentioned at the beginning of the Shir that the Pasuk is very weird. It mentions Inisem B'Tshi'i, fasting on the ninth. Well, we don't fast on the ninth. So the Shibboleth HaLeket said, and again, I don't know independently what Tzidukim or Karoyim do nowadays, we'll find out, there's still a few of them. But apparently, some of them were fasting even on the ninth, because that's what it seems to say in Pashat Tam Pasuk. And we have numerous examples in Chazal where we do something, B'davka, to make it clear that we're rejecting their very literal approach of Torah Shebesav. So the Shmuel Leket says, therefore we go out of our way. We dafkid on the ninth to show that their reading of Inis and Bechi is a mistake. Or, that's 2a. What's 2b? Take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the bottom of the page. Rabbeinu Yonah in his famous Sha'arei Tshuva, which is primarily a Musar / Machshava Sefer, but there are a few golden halachic nuggets that are in the Sefer. That's your reward for learning a whole Musar Sefer. You get a few halachic nuggets. And the Rabbeinu Yonah at the bottom says the following. He gives three reasons. His third reason is the same one we saw from Rashi and the Rosh, and there's a Ritva which I didn't tell you about, that it's all to help the fast go easier. If you don't eat and rest up on the ninth, you'll have no strength for the tenth. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah's third approach. That one is not new to us. But he has two approaches which are very similar but a little different from each other before then. The first one he says is, number one, that by eating kalakoveya suda, Kihera simchaso bihigiyazman kaparasa. There's a simchas yantif of Yom Kippur. Kapara is coming. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear associated with Yom Kippur. It's a very serious day. It's not a flippant, glib, jovial day. But ultimately, it's a very happy day. The Rav used to say in the name of Rav Chaim that the happiest day of the year, the happiest moment of the year, was sunset on Matzah Yom Kippur. Not because he could eat, but because that's when Kapara was. The Jewish people had Kapara then. So we're happy. So on the one hand, there's a tremendous happiness because of the Kapara on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, Jews, as we know, and this is not just a Catskill cliche, halachically, how do we express simcha? Through eating. There's just one problem. We can't celebrate the simcha of the kapar of Yom Kippur by eating, because it happens to be usur to eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, as a way of, we're makdim, we push up the simcha of being forgiven and eat on Erev Yom Kippur, which is an anticipatory celebration of the kapara we're going to get with Yom Kippur. What's interesting, it's not exactly the same thing, but very similar. The second reason Rabbeinu Yonah gives, take a look at the next line where I have it underlined. Nebuch, again, coincidentally, so to speak, because it's usher to eat on Yom Kippur, there's a fast day. Neschaivanu likvoa hasuda al simchas hamitzvah of Erev Yom Kippurim. Here, if I understand him correctly, he's saying something slightly different. It's not that there's a unique simcha because of kapara. Yom Kippur is a yantif. All Yom Tovim have simchas yantif. It's in the Parshas HaMoadim. It's considered a moed. Even Hallel, in theory, should have been said, except for there's a technicality why we don't say it. So therefore, like all Yom Tovim, it should have a mitzvah sudas yantif. It's just that I have a problem. This yantif also happens to be a fast day. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yantif, of sudas yantif, we eat that on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's not identical. Obviously, if Rabbi Yonah wanted to give us two reasons, there must be a slight difference. So the way I understand the difference between, even though they're very similar, the way I understand it is that the first reason Rabbi Yonah is a unique Yom Kippur simcha because of kapara. The second one is a more generic simchas yantif. But the common thread between both of these approaches is that we have to eat because we're happy about something, whether it's generally or because of kapara, and just we can't. Nebuch, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. We can't on Yom Kippur, therefore we eat, we're makdim the mitzvah of eating to Erev Yom Kippur. Now again, we saw two similar but different approaches of Rabbeinu Yonah, preceded by a third approach in Shmuel Aleket about the Tzedukim or something, which is really, he's the only one who says that. So that's much more of an esoteric reference. But what do all three of these have in common? All three of these are not about. They're not about do this so that you can fast better. Do this so that your fast is harder. Do this so that you'll be it'll be recognizable while you're fasting. It has nothing to do with your fasting. Adarabba. There's an independent kiyum. Either the independent kiyum is lahotzi milibam shel tzedukim, or the independent kiyum is to celebrate kapara, or the independent kiyum is to celebrate yantif because it's a yantif. But either way, that mitzvah is not anything to do with the fast day. Adarabba. Just the opposite. The fast day gets in the way. Really, we should be eating on Yom Kippur. According to all the approaches we saw previously from Rashi and the Rush and the Soloveitchik, there's no reason to eat beforehand. The whole purpose is the eating. There would be no purpose to eat on Yom Kippur. The whole purpose is to eat beforehand, to make it easier, to make it harder, etc. But according to the two reasons that Rabbeinu Yonah, and even on some level, certainly at least the two reasons that Rabbeinu Yonah, I would say, in theory, we really would be better to eat on Yom Kippur. But since we can't, we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But the upshot is, clearly the motivation, the reason, the kiyum of eating, is not to help the fast in any way, but rather there's an independent kiyum to eat, which happens to fall out, because of circumstances, on the ninth. So despite the fact that we saw three different variations of the first approach, and now we're seeing more or less two or three approaches, variations of the second approach, nevertheless, I would suggest that broadly speaking, we have two different approaches. One is whether the purpose of eating is a hachana for the fast day, fill in the blank, how we're helping, how we're preparing, or is there an independent kiyum which happens to, or by force of circumstances, comes out Erev Yom Kippur, but independently, there's a reason to do it in and of itself. Everyone with me? Because I'm going to try to go through, time permitting, we have 10 minutes, I'm going to try to go through 5 nafkaminas. But you have, and even if you don't have all the details, there will be a few chalukim and nuances which we'll try to throw in, but broadly speaking, what you have to know before we go to the next stage of the shir is this basic hakira and the various rishonim that basically each one take up the approach. Is it an independent halacha, or is it a hechsher or a hachana for Yom Kippur? You have been wanting to ask the question for a while. Or you're just really tired and stretching a lot. Yeah, you're just stretching. I'm happy to keep you up. Okay. Anyone with a question? Even if you're not tired. Okay, yes. You look old to be a Shon Aleph guy. Everyone welcome. This is what you could all aspire to be. Noam Eisenberg is a chashuv guy. Married with kids, and he lives nearby, and he has a free time, and he's coming to learn Torah with you guys. I hope you'll all be very welcoming to him. Yes. Sorry, yes, okay. Yeah. And he wants you all to come for Shabbos in Modi'in on an off Shabbos.
Your rabbi has been this, not about Pnei Hashem Torah, because he was
I guess, does he discuss there whether it's the kayyot that's machayev eating? You say it's machayev eating?
He doesn't say, but we know clearly the rabbi and everything else.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I have to think about it. I mean, you say, exactly, yeah, it works both Rabbeinu Yonah.
Exactly.
Okay, I have to think about it. I'm not sure. It could be that we could resolve it, and it could be that this is one of those famous examples where, depending on when you caught the Rav, you had different approaches to things. Well, that's, again, that's somebody writing in the Masorah Journal. I don't know. That's a separate question of what he actually said.
Very confused.
Okay. Okay, could be. I have to think about that. It's a good hara. Okay, so let's turn the page, and let's see the Nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one. This is what I call a theoretical nafkamina. I'll introduce you to one of my favorite terms. I'm sure we'll come across it a number of times this year. Usually nafkamina means a practical difference. Like one says usr, one says mutter. Oh, it's a nafkamina. But sometimes you have a situation in which everyone agrees what the halacha is. But that could still be important, because that's what I call a theoretical nafkamina. Because you have two people who agree with the halacha, but they give very different reasons for reaching the same conclusion. And even though they reached the same conclusion, but the fact that they gave different reasons might also be important. So here also is an example. There's no one that I know anywhere who holds, as much as they love this mitzvah, that we make a bracha on it. Nobody, as far as I know. So that's not going to be a nafkamina, bracha or not. It's no bracha. The question is, well, what makes more or less sense? Why should there not be a bracha? So you could speculate all sorts of things, but just to mention briefly, is that the Netziv, and his commentary, called the Hamek Shela, which is a commentary he wrote to the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon. So the Netziv and the Hamek Shela, he mentions, if you take a look at the last line, he says in this short piece that I have for you, he has three nafkaminas. But if you look at the last one, the bottom of the source, the last underlined section of the Shiltos, of the Hamek Shela, we'll get back to the Shiltos in a moment, he says, Ulefize miyusha v'pshitus hosh ein mevarchin. Now we understand why we don't make a bracha. Why? She'ein el achana, the mitzvah, ve'ein mevarchin el al guf ha-mitzvah. Even though it's a mitzvah, maybe the Rabbanan, maybe, the Arise according to the Rambam, nevertheless, given the fact that it's not the Gemara mitzvah, it's not the Gufa mitzvah, it's not the point, it's a hachana for a mitzvah, so we have a klal that we never make brachos on hachanos / hechsher. Now, even though this might be a super special one, says in the Tziv, this fits into that broader pattern, that there really, really, really is no reason to make a bracha. Why? Because, after all, it's merely a hachana. Now, that doesn't mean that people who hold that it's an independent mitzvah would say there is a bracha. As I mentioned, everyone holds there's no bracha. But they would obviously have to give a different reason. And there's all sorts of other reasons one could imagine why there isn't a bracha on this mitzvah. But either way, the point is that at least the Netziv, I'm not saying other people disagree with him, the Netziv is the only one that I know who explicitly, beferish, connects the shaila of bracha to the question of what's the getter of the din. So that's number one. Very quickly, boom. Why is there no bracha? The Netziv says it's connected. Number two, this is a very common shaila. This comes up countless times every year. Any rav could be related to the shaila. You have countless people in any community who unfortunately are sick and not going to be able to fast. Do those people have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Now, everyone's so preoccupied for obvious reasons, because the stakes are obviously higher, eating on Yom Kippur is a Kari's shaila, with whether they have to fast or not on Erev Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the shaila is, if you get to a person whose nevach, that means he must be very sick, that they're putter from fasting on Yom Kippur, does that in any way impact whether they have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? What do you think? Why? Who cares whether you're fasting or not? And if it's a hachana, right? Whether it's a hachana to make it easier, whether it's a hachana to make it harder, or that's Rosh Hashanah Keres, what's the difference? But if there's not going to be a Shvisa, there's not going to be a fasting, that's the whole purpose of eating. So in fact, the Netziv says this as well, and others agree with him. He says, he's medayik in the Lashon of the Shiltos. The Shiltos is from the Gaonim, Rav Chai Gaon, and the Shiltos, when he quotes the Gemara, he adds something. The Lashon of the Shiltos, which is a little bit different than the Gemara, is Kala Ochel V'Shoseh B'Tisha U'Misana Ba'asiri. Right, we said that the Gemara has a bonus. If you eat on the 9th, it's as if you fast on the 9th and the 10th. When the Shiltos quotes it, he adds, anyone who eats on the 9th and fasts on the 10th, it's as if he did a great thing. So the Netziv is medayik that the Shiltos also agrees with Rashi. The whole purpose is a hachana to help you fast. You should be strong, eat a lot on the 9th. You'll be strong, you can withstand the rigors of the fast on the 10th. And therefore, says the Netziv, someone who someone who is lo yehe mukrach lechem me'asakana, someone who's not going to be able to eat because they're sick, then there's no reason for them to at all to have the mitzvah of eating beforehand. The Ksav Sofer, it's the son of the Chassam Sofer, and a Shuvah, which I have for you here, the Ksav Sofer also agrees. Now the Stei Chemed, which is an encyclopedia written, both of the author's own writings, as well as a lot of letters back and forth that he had with other Talmidei Chachamim, when you go on your inevitable Shalvim Chevron trip, whether it's Shabbat Chevron or some other time, if you get your tour of Chevron, you'll see that Rav Chaim Chizkiyo Medini, he made Aliyah to Chevron, that's where he finished writing and publishing the Stei Chemed. There's a whole picture in the tour about the Stei Chemed in Chevron when you go there, encyclopedic work. So he says, even if you're not going to fast on the 10th, you should still eat on the 9th. Why? He says, well, maybe you'll have a refuah shleima. Maybe I'll tell him, we'll finally work. And maybe you'll end up fasting. Then there was no port. Then you didn't eat on the 9th. And then he has other possibilities. But even he says, the other time of the Chagira. Plus he says, who said that the purpose of eating is only to help you fast better? Maybe there's an independent mitzvah. So that's nafkamina number 2. What if you're not going to fast? Do you still have to eat? You with me? Bracha is number 1. Not going to fast, do you still have to eat? Number 2. You good? Mainly it's in the Netziv and also in the Ksav Sofer. And I mentioned the Stei Chemed outside, but it's not on the sheet. Yeshiva Kayetz, you with me? I'm sorry, I don't know your name. You okay? Okay. What's your name? Sammy. Okay. You with me? From Chicago? Okay. Sorry about Lupinella. Okay, anyway. Huh? That's what I want to hear. It was just a test. If you knew about that, I would have had to speak to Rabbi Waxman immediately. Okay. Number 3. The opposite. Just the opposite. What if you say, I am so strong. I am so tough. I can even go 2 days. I don't even eat on the 9th. Right, or exactly, or you're in the mirror and you're in Shanghai or something, right? It was a Shiloh what to do then with the dateline and stuff, 2 Yom Kippers. But let's say you're a knocker. You say, I don't need to. I don't need to fast. I can fast. I don't need to eat. So do you say, well, sometimes you're an idiot, but leave that aside. Do you say, halachically, you're an idiot? Because it's a mitzvah to eat. So who cares that you don't need to eat? It's a mitzvah to eat, so you should eat. Right? I don't need to eat Shalosh Shodos most weeks, but I do anyway, because it's a mitzvah. Or do you say, no, if you don't need to eat, then you don't need to eat. Who needs to bother you? So in fact, of course, you can understand this is just the flip side of the exact same question and the same chakira. Who discusses this? Take a look at the Hamik Shev of the Netziv. Third line says in the Netziv, Mi shedaito boror sheyuchal hisanos afu lo ochel b'erev Yom Kippur ein alav mitzvah klal, says in the Netziv, ein chanami. Just like I paskind that you're not going to fast on Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, who would do the opposite? If you can fast without eating, then there's no mitzvah. Now you could say that, technically speaking, you have to eat because you're an idiot, and we don't want you to take a chance because just because you think you're so tough, doesn't mean you're so tough. And who said you have to eat one? I don't know. The Netziv doesn't discuss it. So maybe he would. I don't know if he would say you have to eat anything. And if anything, maybe just that. Maybe. But the idea of kolocha b'chi doesn't apply. Because then, according to the Netziv is consistent in all 3 of his nafkaminas. There's no confusion. This is consistent. The whole purpose of eating is just a hachana to make sure you have an easier fast. But if you don't need it, you don't need it. So yeah.
It makes it harder according to some, right?
So he obviously doesn't hold to that. It's a very good point. If you held that the purpose of eating was to make it harder, then Adarabba, if you're going to fast, you better eat, because then you're making it easy on yourself. That's a very good point. Thank you for that, Ara. But again, obviously though, if you had the complete different approach, you were a Beno Yonah man, and you felt that the whole purpose of eating was because of the simcha that you have of kapara, or because of simcha's yontif that gets pushed up to Erev Yom Kippur, then who cares that you're a tough guy? There's still a mitzvah to celebrate Hashem's kapara. Okay, 2 more minutes and then we'll be done. Quickly, the last 2 nafkaminas. A very famous discussion of this topic is the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger, here in Siman Tezayin, discusses whether women are included in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So what's his suffix? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. On the one hand, Efshar, Hain, Peturos, Kwami Kamas, Zazman Grama. It's a mitzvah to eat, but it says Zazman Grama, so they should be potter. On the other end, he says, maybe not. If the whole purpose of eating is to help the fast, then memela kosher mechayev b'tainis asiri mechayev l'kayev inisim lecho b'chi'i. Again, says that Rav Kiveger says this is totally hapa hatalia. If the purpose is to help with the fast, so women are mechiv to fast, so then of course they should eat, so they can fast well. But he leaves open for the possibility, maybe if it was just an independent mitzvah, if we weren't looking at it as a hachan, as a preparation for the fast day, so then maybe if it's an independent mitzvah, then we have to judge it independently, and maybe independently they should be peturos, because Mishnah Magra. Before I take your questions, let's do the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer discusses this also, and he says, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Kevin de Mishim Hachi, hu bevadai mistaber de nashim chayavos. No question, for sure. Why? Because it's like Rashi, it's a hachana. But the implication of the Ksav Sofer, which is explicit in Rabbi Kiva Eger, is that if you hold the purpose of eating is not for a hachana, it's an independent din, and as an independent din, maybe they should be potter because it's my grandma. Yes? Yeah?
Can you say that the
value
of the shrimp is past the area? Because it's only a
say. So you ask me why women are not, why women chayv in Yom Kippur? Right, so why women are chayv? That's its own question, but don't worry, no one should get misunderstood. they're chayv. Why? We have to have a different, we'd have to have a different shir. But they are chayv, for sure. Yeah?
Yeah, but you know, it's also just theoretical because
the
women also have to have the
suda, so
they're studying
part,
they're also getting
part. When so you're saying very good. It's not necessarily theoretical, but what you could say, this is what I would agree with you, very good aura, is that even if you held as an independent din, doesn't mean you have to agree with Kiva's analysis. Give Eger holds that they should be potter, but maybe you should say no. They should be happy with kapara. Maybe that overrides Zman Grama. I don't know, but it would be alecha lahaviraya. Not just because he's Rabbi Kiva Eger, not just because of that, but because what he's saying is very compelling. That is, even if there's a great reason to have the mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, but if it's Zman Grama, there's a great reason to put on tefillin too. But they're potter if it's Zman Grama. So it would be on you, but you at least would be opening. I want to end Mamish in 2 seconds, just to tell you on the last sources, it's the Mata Ephraim. I quoted that before. It's a very one of the previous shurim, very famous sefer of halacha on Chodesh Tishrei. And the next two sources are commentaries that were written on the Mata Ephraim. And the commentaries on the Mata Ephraim of Machlokes, number 5, is there a chiyuv to eat bread for this mitzvah, or can you fulfill the mitzvah by eating a candy, or who knows what throughout the day? The Katzei HaMateh holds anything. Doesn't matter if it's bread, not bread. Anything is kiyum of the mitzvah. But the Elef HaMagin is a big chumra. Yesh lahachmir leechol pas dafka. You have to have a suda. Now why should you have to have a suda? That's a tremendous chiddush. The answer may be, Kun Rabbi Yonah, makes sense, Kun Rabbi Yonah. Kun Rabbi Yonah, it's Suzchas Yamtif, Sudas Kapara. So maybe if it's a real independent din, maybe, again, you could quibble, but maybe if it's a real independent din, then it's going to have all the pageantry of an independent mitzvah sachila, including a suda with pas, with bread. But if you hold the whole purpose is to help you eat, help you fast, so maybe you're drinking Gatorade all day, or you're drinking orange juice, or you're sucking a candy, or whatever. Each one of those things helps you fast, it keeps you hydrated. Right? To me, the most important thing on Erev Yom Kippur is drinking water, not even the food. Especially in a hot climate like this. So, is there a kiyum in that? Well, if the whole purpose is to help me fast better than all the water I drink is a mitzvah. That's exactly what the Ksei HaMata says. But if you hold that there is a suda, there's a chiyuv to celebrate, it's an independent mitzvah, then maybe, not necessarily, but maybe, we could understand the Elef Lamagein's Chumrah. Okay, I promise I'd get you guys into the thing. So I'm officially done. So those of you who don't go, at least it won't be my fault.
Yeah.
Luchim to you.
That's the official one?